5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen of the AFN, this is the White House in Washington calling. I present the President of the United States.
I appreciate this opportunity to extend my greetings and best wishes to the Convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives. I want you to be among the first to know that I have just signed the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. This is a milestone in Alaska's history.
The corporate whale, ANCSA, the first 10 years.
The Reverend Mercurio from St. George Island.
This land of Alaska, which thou gave to our ancestors who had come and gone before us, is now being handed to us a second time by the act of the United States Congress and our untiring efforts. A second chance is given to us by thee to be the new custodians and caretakers.
This is a very serious and important day in history. We have a tremendous amount of work to do in implementing this bill that has just been signed into law by the President of the United States. We cannot do it in a matter of a day or two or a week or a month. We're starting on a new era, the post-settlement era.
A decade has passed since Don Wright said those words to delegates attending the Anchorage Convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives on December 18, 1971. By an overwhelming majority, they had just voted to accept the terms of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, ANCSA, $962.5 million, and nearly 44 million acres of land in exchange for relinquishing further Aboriginal claims to that land. The money has all been transferred to the 13 Native Regional Business Corporations and nearly 200 village corporations created to divide and manage those assets. The Department of the Interior has conveyed less than one half of the promised land. One regional corporation made the Fortune 1000, another teetered on bankruptcy. In one region, a group of merged village corporations had profits of nearly $1 million, while its parent regional corporation lost several times that amount. During this post-ANCSA era, all corporations have expended much time and dollars attempting to decipher the Act and implementing its provisions and planning for the next decade. In this program, the last in a 10-part series, The Corporate Whale, leaders involved in land claims implementation assess the bill that Barrow activist Charlie Edwardson Jr., ETHOC, once referred to as a new harpoon.
Dividing the mop top is the way it's always been. Dividing the mop top between family and friends. We're sailing towards the future, the anchored in the past. Rich in our tradition, our way will surely last.
In Inupiaq linguist Edna McLean of the Alaska Native Language Center of the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
The terminology that is used for the whale has been is being used for describing the actions or the activities going on in the corporation. Like, for instance, ningik in the traditional sense means a share of the animal. Okay. Now, we've extended the meaning to mean stocks in the corporation. And also, the same stem, ningik tok, means that he gets a share. And it also has the meaning, he gets a share of the meat. Okay, so Ningiktuk corporation means that he got a share of the profits from the corporation. The corporation is now your means of survival, you might say, like hunting animals was the most basic way of surviving for the Eskimos.
In Eskimo whaling, everyone gets a share of the catch. In the land claim settlement, all who qualify to enroll get the same number of shares. In whaling, the size and quality of the shares differ. The captain and participating crews get more and choicer sections much like corporate officers. According to Ituk, Charlie Edwardson Jr., shares in the corporation are not truly equal due to the power of the Umeleks, the captains, the corporate officers.
The corporation model as it is conceived in ANSA is a democratic model, and the one that is being managed in the disguise of ANSA is one like Exxon, and they're two separate things. And so the question of corporate democracy has gone out the window.
Andy Hope III of the Sciatica Corporation in Sitka.
There has to be a consolidation between the previous Indian legislation, like the Indian Reorganization Act, the Self-Determination Act, and the land claims legislation, and we have to provide for continuous tribal economic development rather than saying, well, you guys are all going to be corporations and get out there in Wall Street and, get in there with all the banks and all the oil companies, and you're going to be just the same as everybody else. Nice little corporate America.
Unlike other American corporations, shareholders may not sell the stock given to them under ANCSA until 1991. Sam Keto is a past president of the Alaska Federation of Natives. Now he's their lobbyist and also lobbies for several regional corporations, sits on the board of directors of Doyon Limited and on the University of Alaska's Board of Regents.
In 10 years, the most important issue that will be upon us is when the stock becomes alienable, what will the shareholders do with the stock? Our level of concern is brought about by wondering, I guess, at this point, whether or not that stock is going to be sold. And I think that what we're approaching is the idea of providing enough supportive information and success in the regional corporations and the message to the shareholders that if they sell the stock, they sell the land, they may receive money, but land is a legacy, and that we would like to find ways for them, one, not to sell stock, but two, if they should decide to sell stock, we would like to make sure the first right of refusal to the corporation for the stock if it's going to be sold.
Amendments in the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act of 1980, the D2 legislation, give corporations that right. But in 10 years, stock in some corporations, such as the oil-rich Arctic Slope, may be worth too much for the corporations to afford to buy back. Andy Hope III.
Hell, you know, when these high rollers come in 1991, throwing cash all over the place, do you think many people are going to have sympathy for their own corporations and sell it to them? You know, I just think they'll go for the highest bidder. A lot of them will.
Calista Corporation Vice President Nelson Angapak.
We are in a process of developing an educational package that is designed, hopefully, to inform our village as well as our regional corporate stockholders the importance of keeping and holding on to that stock.
Calista Corporation is particularly interested in developing ties with their shareholders. One of the largest of the regional corporations in land area, population served, and number of villages, it has also been a leader in turnover of top management and in losses. A number of regional corporations have established separate shareholder relations departments to provide stockholders with information on corporate affairs and to keep track of people's whereabouts.
Well, I'm good with the kicker when the water is fast. I can make their snowshoes guaranteed to last. I can build me a cabin when the time comes around. There's one thing I can't do, I can't live in town.
Not all corporations are content to plan for stock retention in 1991. Some, like Kotzebue's Kikitagruk Inupiat Corporation and its president, Al Adams, are readying to prey upon those who wish to sell.
The shareholders of Kotzebue have to come up with a plan so that we will retain ownership of the stock, of the land. And by that time, hopefully our assets will be great enough that we will be able to look at purchasing others outside the region. because I know there is going to be failure with stock and land throughout Alaska. And I hate to see it happen, but we should be ready to also to look at investing outside of our region as far as land and somebody else's stock.
The people selling the stock would have been issued the shares after enrolling if they were born before December 18, 1971, the date the act was signed into law. Alaska Natives who either did not enroll or who were born after that date were not eligible to receive stock except through inheritance. In many families, siblings have split, some receiving money and land and others not. See Alaska board member, former Alaska Federation of Natives and Alaska Native Foundation president, Roger Lang.
There's a single thing in the world that says I cannot enroll anybody I want into my corporation. Simply enroll them. You don't have to enroll them on the BIA's roll. We just issue shares. That's all. 20-year-olds are going to be a problem in 1991 if we don't do something. I have one myself. He's 9 years old now, and he'll be 19 in 91, and if I don't do something for him, well, he'll kick my butt.
There are other issues to be resolved in the next few years as well, determining whether ANCSA's jurisdiction includes the Outer Continental Shelf, protection of Native subsistence rights, the nature of the trust relationship of the federal government to Alaska Natives, the completion of land conveyances, that may take well beyond 1991, and a resolution of the interpretation of the revenue-sharing 7I provision that's had all 12 in-state regional Native corporations in court for better than half a dozen years. Doyon Limited President Tim Wallace.
When Congress said, you know, go ye into the world now and make your living, and after 20 years you're going to be like all other corporations, they forgot about 7I, and that's a tremendous handicap for any corporation to keep its overhead and do everything else, and then 70% of your profits you share with competing corporations, and then still plan for dividends. And with all the controversy surrounding 7I itself, it's a nightmare section.
For others, like Senator Ted Stevens, the dreams and the memories are better.
It's like anything else, you don't like to remember the time when you struck out. You remember the time when you hit a home run. And I think that the Land Claims Act was a home run.
Northwest Arctic Native Association leader Willie Hensley feels the game is far from won.
I think we just made our first strike. We got a couple strikes to go, and we got to get people on bases, and, you know, we just begun.
Sea Alaska President Byron Malott tells this story.
A young Native, you know, about college age, is contemplating his future. He's walking along the beach. Comes upon the proverbial bottle, which he rubs, and out pops a genie. It says the typical things genies say in those circumstances. Says, you know, you've let me free and I'll reward you. What do you want? And the Native young person said, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm unsure about my future, and doggone it, you know, I'd like to be just like most other people my age in America, you know. Poof, he was wearing gray flannel slacks and a blue blazer, and he had an American Express card in one hand and a college degree in the other. And Jeannie said, well, would you like, you know, I can grant you another wish, and the young Native person said, gosh, now I'd like to have the potential to be very wealthy and own a lot of land. And poof, he was an Alaska Native, kicking sand on the beach again. You know, we have the latter potential, and Native people also have the former, but there's still promises yet to be realized.
You've been listening to The Corporate Whale, ANCSA, the First 10 Years, the final program in a 10-part series written and produced by Karen Michelle McPherson with technical assistance from Phil Falkowski. Funding was provided by KUAC sponsors and the Alaska Native Human Resource Development Program of the Cooperative Extension Service of the University of Alaska. Special thanks to John Newstrom of KCAW, Patty Ginsburg of KTOO, and musicians Herbie Vent, Buddy Tabor, and Ted Wesley. Cassette copies of this program are available for $5 from Educational Media Services, SR Box 20155, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.